Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
The gathering room in the Jedi Hall is empty, except for one lone figure. Mace Windu can't sleep. He stands with his hand on a large window overlooking the heart of the city. There is a disturbance in the Force. He knows it, but can't pinpoint exactly what it is. It is then that the blast door of the chamber blasts open as the mighty Juggernaut bursts onto the scene. You got a price on your head, Jedi, and I'm here to claim it. Mace Windu nods in understanding, then sparks his lightsaber and gives a come get some gesture with his opposite hand. It's Jedi versus Brotherhood. It's Harun Kal versus Sidorak. It's Mace Windu versus Juggernaut. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. Today's debaters, returning to his traditional slot, it's Race Decanus.
Oh, hey, everybody.
And sitting in for an absent James Gavsey, it's the one and only Matthew Harris.
Pleased to be with you.
I'm Robert Clark Chan, and I will be taking your order tonight. Our specials are a trout almond... Slipped into waiter mode. I'll be your guest host tonight for a whopper of a battle. In today's episode, it's bad versus badder. In one corner, you have one of the most iconic villains in all of Marvel, the unstoppable Juggernaut. And in the other corner, it's the Jedi who has BMF carved into his lightsaber. I assume that's Yoda speak for may the Force be with you. I can't imagine what else it would be. It's Mace Windu. Usually James Gavsey does his patented Google test to determine if this battle has ever been discussed before. And except for one random post pitting Juggernaut against all the Jedi, there hasn't been a single mention of this battle. So once again, the Who Would Win show is bringing you an exclusive fight with the finest, most comprehensive answer in internet history. Speaking of James, if you're wondering who the hell I am and where is James, the wildfires. We all know about the fires that have hit Los Angeles. He is taking a break, getting things together. We still have a GoFundMe open. You can go to bit.ly/www fires to donate. All that money goes to the LA Regional Food Bank. We don't do anything. It's just us telling you, go put some money in to help some people out. Ray, what do you think of all this?
I am excited once again to be repping the mighty, unstoppable Juggernaut on the show. I have an affinity for this character. He's not somebody I generally had a lot of respect for a long period of time. And somehow it was Deadpool 2 and that particular song about the Juggernaut that I, due to extreme language reasons, cannot say a single word of on this show. But bleeping bleep bleeps. I love the Juggernaut now. I love that portrayal because the other X-Men movies, I thought his portrayal was absolutely atrocious. Like, and I love the actor who played him, fantastic. But no, that was doing the character an injustice. But representing him in Deadpool was great. So I love the idea of Juggernaut. I will say Mace Windu is on the other side of this. He was our patron's choice for January. The fans voted, and they voted for Mace Windu to come on the show. He's been on the show sort of before in our composite Samuel L. Jackson versus Samurai Jack episode from a couple of seasons ago, but never given his own slot, and I am excited that he's being done here. Matthew Harris, I don't normally give the floor to anybody, but how do you feel about this battle walking in the door?
Well, first of all, I feel very honored to be here, right? I mean, I've been here as a judge several times before, so I've been on the other side of what goes on here, and now I get to sit in the hot seat and go toe-to-toe with the Ray is Right, with the leader of the Awkward Allies himself. So it's a big honor, and to know that I'm actually repping the Patreon choice is... no presh, but a little bit of precious on. And I like that because I feel like I do good. It's it's one of those battles to where I would not have thought to pit these two against each other. So I'm really interested to see how it comes out. And I'm excited to get at it.
You've got the hopes and dreams of the entire legion of audience on your shoulders. So, you know, don't screw this up.
Just
don't
that. Screw it up. Got it. Yeah. Got you.
Yeah. We've got a guest debater. We've got a guest host. Why don't we bring in our guest for this week? Making his first appearance on the show, he's a comedian and board game content creator. You can find him at Grant Games Rex. And you can find his comedy special on YouTube. It just dropped. It's called Silly Mustache Man. It's Grant Lyon.
Hey, thanks for having me, everybody. I get to be a guest. That's yes. Like the fanciest of all guests.
It's an inception of guests. So,
yeah,
you know.
I'm okay with that. You know, am I a guest or am I a guest inside of a guest? You will never know. So I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, everybody.
Yeah, you are a guy who does all sorts of cool-ass board game content. You go to how many cons are you going to this year?
Probably like 15. Cool. Yeah, I go to a lot of conventions. Part of it is because I figured out a way to marry my two loves and grift the system, and I wrote a whole hour of stand-up all about board games. So hell I go to board game conventions and do a live show all about board games.
And you walk into your accountant's office with all those sweet, sweet deductions. Like, sorry, these board games are now tax deductible.
Yep, they are for sure. And I get to play games with people and stuff at the convention as well. So I really love doing it. I really did. When I started, you know, I've been a comedian for a long time, and I didn't start making videos about board games until the pandemic, until all my shows got canceled. I was a guy that loved board games before that, but I never really talked about it publicly. And then when I started making videos about board games, I was like, how can I bring these two worlds together now? And I found a way to do it, and I love it, you know?
That's insane that you started doing board game content during the pandemic, because famously, most board games require more than one person.
Yeah, true.
But like, now that we're kind of out of that, we have the other problem, which is scheduling a game night.
Sure.
Getting everybody around the table. How do you do that? Tell me, help me, help me.
I have a lot of people in my network. And so it does take texting a lot of people sometimes. I also think this is Los Angeles and people are flakes. So a lot of times I, you know, will get 8 people for a game night, knowing that people will cancel day before or day of, and it'll get down to 5 people or 4 people or something like that. And so some of it is having games ready for different player counts. You know, I'll have 8 people confirmed. And if all 8 people come, then great. I've got games that work for 8 people. But you know what? They're probably not all going to come. And I got games that work for 4 people and 5 people and everything in between. So I guess I'm being flexible is a good way. Over-inviting and then being flexible with how many people show up.
All right, my takeaway from that is you need a lot of different board games for a lot of different sizes of groups, and so you should buy more board games.
Yep, I mean, that is just why I'm just here. Buy more board just games. Just to tell people to buy more board games.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You are already the best guest on the show ever. I will be taking the audio of this and presenting it to my spouse and seeing just how much of the home budget we can free up for this purpose. Sure.
You know, go to flea markets. There's ways to get like board games for real cheap. Go to a convention. Like, for instance, there's a convention in Las Vegas, not that far away, that has a huge flea market. You can buy a ton of great board games for like $20 each. Instead of a game that would be $50, you could buy for $20.
All right, look, I know you came here for this who would win nonsense. Don't care. We're good. Let's just talk board games for the rest of the night. Good.
Who would win? Board games versus this podcast.
No. That's a stomp.
If I were the legit host, we would already be over. But tell you what, we do have to get to the podcast, sure. I guess. If only because James would be mad at us if we didn't. So, Ray, would you please do us the honors and announce today's matchup?
Representing Star Wars, the Jedi who's tired of all these muddy Fallon snakes on this Monday to Friday plane, Mace Windu.
That was the censored for TV version.
And representing Marvel Comics, the villain who can't stop, won't stop, Rockefeller Records, because we get down, baby. We get down, baby. The girls, they love us because we stay fresh to death. We the best, nothing less. The Juggernaut.
That was magical.
Okay. All right.
There's nothing I love more than a white man doing a black man's rap lyrics. You've nailed it, Ray.
That's what it's
I'll
for.
I'll be honest. It's really what I should be known for. Probably not.
There are probably some places where you are known for that.
Hell yeah.
Oh, no. And this is one of them, unfortunately.
Well, let's get to the basics of a Who Would Win matchup. Each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that a Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character loses based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal with no outside interference. That's the short form of the complete battle rules that you can find on our website at whowouldwinshow.tv. Don't forget to visit our website, whowouldwinshow.tv, and also our merch page at whowouldwinstore.com. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape. Ray, please give us the details for Juggernaut.
The Juggernaut, a.k.a. Kane Marco, is the stepbrother of Charles Xavier, who found a gem that belonged to the demigod Sidorak and transformed from a regular guy to an unstoppable force. He was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and first appeared in the X-Men number 12 back in 1965. And what more needs to be said about Juggernaut? He's a force of nature in Marvel Comics due to his affiliation with the god demigod Sidorak. Once the Juggernaut gets moving, he cannot be slowed. He cannot be stopped. He has an invulnerability shield and a healing factor. And once Kane Marco sets his sights on a target, he will push through them till nothing remains. Now, fun fact, we have had characters based on gods on the show before, but did you know that the Juggernaut is based on the, I read this, it's based on the Hindu deity Jagannath, whose worshippers threw themselves on the ground and allowed themselves to be crushed by the idol of Jagannath as it was wheeled forward on a tower 60 feet, 6 stories high. For the record, I don't believe any god needs to crush you under its wheels, but that's maybe just me. But that's also the Juggernaut.
And Matthew, please give us the details for Mace Windu.
Well, Mace Windu is a human Jedi Master and a member of the Jedi Council, originally born on the planet Harun Kull. As a Padawan, he apprenticed under Master Sislin Mir and was the master of Jedi Master, who she became, Depa Balaba. He served as a general during the Clone Wars, wielding his unusual amethyst or purple lightsaber, and is considered to be one of the greatest warriors and force users of the Jedi Order. The character was introduced in the 1999 live-action Star Wars prequel Episode I, The Phantom Menace, and has appeared primarily in the Star Wars prequel era content, including animated shows such as The Clone Wars and The Bad Batch. Most importantly, he was famously portrayed, as has been covered on the Who Would Win show, by Samuel L. Jackson. Now, as you may know, according to Star Wars creator George Lucas, lightsaber colors in movies were generally limited to green and blue for good guys and red for bad guys. Mace Windu's iconic purple saber came about because Samuel L. Jackson wanted to be able to see himself in multiple person battle scenes, and George Lucas, in an unprecedented move, changed it for Jackson, changing the canon and opening up a new array of saber colors because there's no more commanding figure than Samuel L. Jackson, which is a great way to sum up such a character as Mace Windu.
Thank you very much, Matt. And now you have the facts on both combatants. Grant, do you have any questions?
No, this is going to be a heated battle. These are both very powerful characters, and I can't wait to see who wins.
Well, then let's get to it. Ray, why don't you hit us with your point one?
Point number one for the Juggernaut. We're just going to talk about some of his raw power because he's blessed by the demigod Sidorak, so he has this insane level of strength as well as being the unstoppable force. We'll talk about that in point number two. But some of the things that Juggernaut has done. Look, this is a guy who can grab steel cables and rip them apart like they're paper clips. I can't even rip apart paper clips. I don't know why I said paper clips. The point I'm trying to make is he can grab steel cables, like the kind that would hold up elevators, and tear them apart. Strong. This is a guy who, when he got running, he ran along a sidewalk, right? Chasing after somebody. And he put his footprints into hard cement. That's a level of power I just don't think. Look, Mace Windu's faced a lot of stuff. He's faced a lot of droids, clones, other Jedi. He went toe-to-toe with the Emperor. Well, that didn't go very well for him, did he? So when he goes up against real power, he does tend to take a big ol' L. But I don't think he's ever faced a powerful force like the Juggernaut. This is a guy who got real mad, Juggernaut did. He took his two fists, he slammed them down onto the ground, and he created an earthquake. And as we learned in Thunderdome, an earthquake is the scariest thing as far as natural disasters go. At least that's firmly what I believe in my heart. Juggernaut, he's ridiculously strong. Who, like I say, you might be able to use the force and like move objects, but Juggernaut could just reach down, pick up a truck, and then throw it at you. Nobody in Star Wars is really doing that. Even in the Darth Vader battles, they're just throwing boxes and crates around each other. Not entire trucks. He once backhanded a tank, and he sent it flying through the air. If he gets one hit in on Mace Windu, which I do believe he will, Mace Windu isn't going to stand up from that attack. And that's not even mentioning the force field. We already know how ridiculously powerful and strong and damaging the attacks from Juggernaut are, but he also has this mystical, magical energy force field that essentially means he can't really take damage. He once got shot at by a missile, and he took the missile to his chest, and the missile exploded, and he stood there being like, okay, what's for dinner? He did not care. Cyclops, great, powerful X-Men, those optic beams, as we all know, will just tear through anything, except for Juggernaut's force field. It stopped it. He was able to tank it full blast multiple times. Look, this is a guy who's taken full-on hits from the Incredible Hulk, from Rogue, from getting hit with Thor's hammer, from getting cracked with Wolverine's claws, which did not penetrate the force field. Heck, he was set on fire by the Human Torch, a guy who knows something about doing just that. But none of those attacks really damaged him or took him down. I ask the question, how can Mace Windu take the attacks from Juggernaut? But also, how can Mace Windu hit Juggernaut with something more powerful than what I just described to put him down for good? At the end of the day, I think it is an uphill battle for poor Mace Windu. And you wouldn't say that about too many opponents, quite honestly. But I think Juggernaut on offense and defense takes him down. And that's my point number one.
Okay, so listen, I'm gonna go ahead and concede a lot of these strength feats that Ray is bringing up. It is no mystery to anybody that the Juggernaut is a very, very powerful character. Yes, and once he gets going, couple of things that I want to push back on, though, just for the sake of not conceding the entire point. So, yes, the Juggernaut is strong. I am going to get some in my points. I'm going to start talking about the places where he isn't so strong, but there's something that I really want to take issue with. All right. Rey brings up Palpatine and that defeat and uses it as a basis to say that Mace Windu, when he faces great power, has a bunch of L's. Well, here's where I'm going to push back on that. Mace Windu does not have a lot of L's going up against great power. As a matter of fact, he has one L with an asterisk that I will get into in his entire pretty much array as he was shown as a character in terms of what he can do. You know, let me just use that to segue into my point number one. And in my point number one, I'm going to talk about the abilities and the accolades of Mace Windu. So as I mentioned in the intro, Mace Windu is a Jedi Master of the highest order. In fact, for a while, he was the head of the Jedi Council. Now, I want to make sure that I don't confuse that. He wasn't the head of the Jedi Order, that was Yoda, but the Jedi Council, which is made up of the most powerful, the wisest, the strongest order of the Order, they thought, well, who should be the one to lead this? Mace Windu, because he is that caliber. He is known to be the most powerful Jedi in the Order with his physicality, with his use of the Force. In fact, he has been said in by fandom all the way around, he is usually placed within the top five of the most powerful Jedi ever. Force use on par with Yoda. That comes with things like superhuman speed. Now, I say superhuman speed because his speed is, it will clock higher than peak human, which does get into the aspects of superhuman. That means he can dodge. That means he can deflect. That means, and he can do all these things while strategizing. He was on a cliff that crumbled underneath his feet, and as he fell through the air, he deflected blaster shots coming at him while strategizing what he's going to do next. He's quick, and he's good under pressure. He also has a lightsaber skill that is second only to Yoda. This is from the Star Wars book. That means when he gets the weapon in his hand, he is a master duelist. He's also an expert in hand-to-hand combat, even without the lightsaber. Let's talk about that lightsaber form for a second, though. He has a form that he has created known as Vapod, or the ferocity form. It is a combat form and a state of mind that channels inner darkness. This is one of the ways it makes him such an elite Jedi, is because while the rest of the Jedi abhor anything that has to do with the dark side, he found a way to embrace it and make it into this powerful fighting force. He's not just some guy with a laser sword. He's the guy with a laser sword. And even without that laser sword in his hand, he has ripped through barehanded, not even 4-ounce UFC gloves, hordes of droids before he even decided to click old purple on. All right. And now let's talk about a couple of his wins. It has been clocked that he has defeated over 100,000 battle droids. And this includes single-handedly bringing down droid drop ships. That means without the use of any sort of clone army or any other Jedi, he has ripped through entire ships by himself. He famously defeated Jango Fett, a master bounty hunter, the basis for the clone troopers, who had Jedi kills under his belt, including a win over Kenobi. And he defeated, this last point about him getting L's when he faces big power. He fought Mother Talzin to a standstill. Mother Talzin is a matriarch of the dark side Force witches. Mace defensively fought her to a standstill. And just to give you an idea of how powerful she is, when she was finally taken down, it was only by the combined efforts of General Grievous, Count Dooku, and Palpatine. Mace Windu has an answer for power, and that's my point number one.
Okay, sure. I know you made some good points right here. I mean, the fact that you're trying to play up a draw, I think, is a tactical mistake. You know, because Juggernaut fought World War Hulk, and he actually fought him to a draw for an extended period of time. Until, and I'll just put it out there, World War Hulk used his own momentum against him. And because he needed to exert so much power to try to overcome World War Hulk, you know, blah, blah, blah.
But I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I'm not going to brag about a draw is what I'm going to try to say here. I am going to talk about the speed, though, because on its surface, the way you presented it, you would think Mace Windu would really have the speed edge against Juggernaut. But I would disagree with that. Juggernaut is surprisingly fast for somebody as powerful as he is. He's actually had the agility and the speed to keep up with characters like Beast and Spider-Man. And those are two of the more agile characters in the Marvel lexicon. So I just don't want you to think that Mace Windu is going to be running circles around the mighty Juggernaut, because he will not.
Interesting. Okay, I might have answers for you. That's all I'm saying.
It's sad you don't, though.
Grant, you've heard one point from Ray. You've heard one point from Matt. Where's your head at going into round two?
Well, they're both presenting really good points. I am glad that Matt brought up the fact that I don't know that Mace Windu fighting Palpatine is as much as an L as Rey says, because he kind of beat Palpatine and only lost because he got betrayed. I would have said that was more of a win than an L, but Rey brought up, I'm a big Marvel guy myself, and I like Juggernaut a lot, and I even forgot about the missile being shot at Juggernaut and doing nothing. That's a big argument right there. An entire, like, a missile couldn't even touch him. So, yeah.
Well, sounds like things are still pretty even.
Say so.
Yeah, sure. We're still early in this battle. Let's see what happens. Stay tuned for point number two.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got.
Point number two for the Juggernaut. We are going to talk about the fact that he is an absolutely unstoppable force. If he starts moving and he starts getting in on Mace Windu, I don't believe it's going to take too many hits. Look, Emperor Palpatine shot him out the window with one little blast of force lightning. I think that the combined power and magical energy of the Juggernaut's charge would easily be enough to take him down based on that criteria. Well, first and foremost, we all know the Juggernaut can't get tired. We know that that's not the same truth about Jedis. Jedis have only so much strength. Now, they can pump their endurance with the Force, but after using the Force for a certain amount of time, Jedis do wear down. Even the best ones, even Yoda, gets worn down after a while, and the Juggernaut doesn't. So all the Juggernaut has to do is just keep on fighting, and eventually Mace Windu will succumb. That is the nature of Jedi magic, for lack of a better term. And this is the big question I have, and maybe it's a terrible pun, but can the Force stop the unstoppable Force? I would argue that the answer is no. No, it cannot, because you think about it. Look at all of the ways, well, we'll talk about it in just a moment, but look at all the ways that people have tried to stop the Juggernaut, and it does not work. This is a guy who will run through 50, you know, concrete or reinforced steel walls in a row. Never mind what you saw in that one movie. That was pretty sad. But this is what he does in comics on the reg, and nobody can do it. So do you think a force push is suddenly going to have the energy needed to stop the Juggernaut in full charge? I'm going to argue that no, it does not. He puts his head down and drives through whatever is in front of him once his momentum is going. Even a force push cannot stop him, okay? And it's been said right here, he has endless kinetic energy. And once he begins charging, he charged a guy named D-Cell, okay? That's a mutant from Marvel Comics. His whole mutant ability is he can slow down kinetic motion, okay? Pretty big deal. He can slow down kinetic motion to the point that he can cause objects falling to stop falling. He can stop the momentum of anything. Guess what? She could not stop. Juggernaut. Juggernaut was advancing towards her, and there was nothing. Somebody with a very specific ability to do exactly the thing she needed it to do, and it itself did not work. And that's the whole secret here, is that eventually Mace Windu's going to get tired. Juggernaut, once he get going, cannot be stopped, cannot slow down. So just keep on fighting. My other favorite moment here, he threw a hammer. Because his ability is not just for himself. If he picks up an item or a weapon and throws it, that weapon also gets charged, or that item gets charged with his ability as well. So if he picks up, you know, a truck and he throws it at you, Mace Windu might, his whole deal might be, I'm just going to hold up my hand and use the force and I'm going to stop this. But his ability transfers to that truck after he throws it. So Mace Windu's going to think he's using the force, and he's going to get hit with something real hard because he's not going to be able to stop it. Example of this being, he picked up a hammer, a big old hammer, and he threw it at Magneto. And Magneto says, has a big speech because this is Marvel Comics. And he says, I am the master of magnetism. Why would the Juggernaut be so stupid as to throw a metal hammer at me? Oh no, I can't stop it. And he had to quickly duck out of the way at the last second because Magneto's magnetism powers didn't work on an item that Juggernaut was throwing. at the end of the day, this is going to, Mace Windu's going to try to use the Force, as they all would, to stop something being thrown, but it's not going to work here, and Mace Windu's not going to find out till it's too late. Unstoppable Force meets just an object. And that's my point number two.
I really like the tack that you are taking here, Ray, because in typical Ray fashion, you are taking certain points and you are running with the conjecture to them. You are projecting a lot out here. And let me tell you something. I'm actually here for it, all right? I love the way that you spin a story because much like the Juggernaut, when Ray really gets going, he'll just keep going full steam ahead and shooting the projectiles out of his face. We call it a voice. And he comes at us with these facts. And here's where you're going to start to get a little pushback. Now, first of all, and I'm really going to get into this in my point number two, but how dare you? One little bolt of lightning that Palpatine shoots at one bolt of, oh yeah, just a little Uncle Fester, you know, the electricity out of his finger and woo, little Mace goes flying. I think not. Everybody who saw the movie thinks not, but I'll definitely get more to that later. And there's something I want to bring up because in all this unstoppable force that you're talking about, which is awesome. And it's demonstrably just wrecked so many people throughout the Marvel Universe. He has to, and you have put this into your words himself, he has to get going. He is a 1,900-pound individual. He doesn't go from 0 to 600 miles per hour in 2 seconds, all right? He got to get some momentum going, and I think that's going to start to be his undoing. And let me get into my point number two with that, in which I'm really going to talk about Force abilities. Now, Ray, a lot of the time, he keeps it limited to the idea of a Force push. He thinks that the Jedi, and for many Jedi, maybe, their typical thing is, I'm going to use a Force push, I'm going to get this thing away from me telepathically, and that's it. However, let me go into the aspects of Mace Windu's control over the Force, and then we'll start to see how it can relate to Juggernaut. So first of all, he is very adept, Mace Windu, like I said, one of the best Force users, on par with Yoda, at mind control. He's actually one of the better Jedi use at mind control, to where he can use a rare portion of mind control where he can make people sleep. Just by saying sleep, and he can knock them out. Not a lot of Jedi's doing that, all right? He also has an enhanced mastery of telepathy and can penetrate shields. He has been seen using the Force to reach into the shields of droidy cars. There's those droids that can roll, and then they pop up with a shield around them, Force field, shoot lasers. They give clone troopers a lot of trouble. They've given Jedi a lot of trouble. Mace Windu has been able to use the Force, reach through, crush the being that was inside. And this is going to be very important, especially when you're talking about the armor of Juggernaut. Ray's going to bring it up probably, but many of us who know the Juggernaut already know he wears that weird helmet that connects his head to his shoulders to protect from mind control, which in some canon he has a weakness to. But even if he didn't, he'd be going against one of the best users of it. But that helmet can be removed. That helmet has been removed. And if it gets removed, it's game over because he's going to sleep. Now, what I want to use my remaining time to talk about is something that's a little bit controversial, all right, because of where it may come up in canon. But I'm going to show you, Grant, the judge, why it should still be considered. And that is the idea of the Force ability of Shatterpoint. Right now, Shatterpoint is the Force ability to detect a key weakness in an individual, in the Force, or in an event. Now, the reason it's controversial is because it does come up an argument as to whether it's canon or not. In most of the movies and the animated series, Shatterpoint isn't necessarily mentioned. It was a book written by Matthew Stover. However, I think that all of those things apply to Mace Windu, and Shatterpoint was made only in name to describe not something for some one-off story of his that he can't do, but for something that he already does. Listen, it is shown in so many of his battles that the reason that he is so strong, or that he seems so strong, is because he can detect weakness in opponent. It's an innate ability to, with no prior knowledge, it makes them an amazing who would win contestant, can look at an opponent, can look at a situation, find the weak point, and know exactly how to attack it. He's going to know. He can look at this person and be like, okay, once this being gets going, it's game over. I'm not going to just take out my light starber and start whacking away. I'm not going to try to force push. That's not going to work on somebody like this. I'm going to need to dip. I'm going to need to dive. I'm going to need to get out of the way because I'm going to be able to see that. All right. And I also, in my last few seconds, I want to talk about Palpatine's Force Lightning. All right. And why Mace Windu wasn't just some pushover. Palpatine's Force Lightning has been recorded as one of the more powerful attacks in Star Wars. It not only hits you as a physical force, but it also overwhelms you mentally. Luke Skywalker had no answer for it. Darth Vader had no answer for it. Yoda had no answer for it. Not only did he deflect it with his lightsaber, which according to Wikipedia is something that only a few Jedi would be able to deflect it, he deflected it directly back at Palpatine and was effectively killing him. Listen, what I'm going to say here, just to wrap up, is that Mace Windu has force ability to see what a problem is, diagnose the problem, and be able to figure out this problem with someone who can have their helmet removed and be mind controlled, and someone who needs to get momentum going. He's not going to have an answer, and that's my point number two.
I like that you made my use part of your own time to make my counter argument for me, so I don't need to put a lot of time into it. Juggernaut has a helmet that keeps out the mental abilities of Professor Charles Xavier. And you even said it. You undercut your entire point during your argument, because if
absolutely
you could stop
not
Charles Xavier, you could stop Mace Windu from entering your mind as well. That point is completely muted. And I'm going to talk a little bit more. Oh, you talked about, Rey reaches. He comes up with a thing and then he extrapolates. Then you come up with a force power, this Shatter Strike or whatever it's called, that exists in non-canon Marvel Legends books, not even attributed to Mace Windu, and you try to use it as a central crux of your argument. That is not canon to him. That is not a thing he has ever used, and that's not even a thing that's canon to the Star Wars universe. I believe that entire point should also be thrown out. And with my last 10 seconds, I'm going to tell you a story about when the mighty Thor hit Juggernaut with some hits that would take down a celestial, according to Thor. And Juggernaut laughed them off. So what did Thor do? He used his reality abilities and he threw Juggernaut to another planet. To another planet where Juggernaut simply stood up and conquered the planet after he crashed into it. This is the guy we're talking about. I got some more points about the Force Lightning later, but I've said plenty enough to
you
end this.
You just
bit
said 10 seconds that lasted about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I'm a big tipper, Chan.
All of this is irrelevant because as soon as I heard about the sleep power, I was unaware that Mace Windu could put people to sleep. And I just need to know if that became canon before or after Samuel L. Jackson's classic reading of the audio children's book, Go the F to Sleep. Can you confirm or deny that Samuel L. Jackson made this canon just through the force of his coolness?
He very well could have. He very well could have.
If we were still arguing composite Samuel L. Jackson, I think that is an excellent argument to take.
For sure.
For another day, then. Another time. Irrelevant. We're at the turning point. Grant, you've had a chance to hear 2 points from both Ray and Matt. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, I think it's still very close. I think both people are making good arguments. Rey is really leaning into the unstoppable force that is the Juggernaut, which makes sense because the Juggernaut really is quite unstoppable. And so it is a good argument to make. Though I will say, I do think Matt has had good rebuttals to some of Rey's arguments. You know, the fact that, like, yeah, the helmet can be removed. It is true that that he wears that helmet and Charles Xavier can't get in, but it has been removed at times. I did not know about this Shatter Strike ability. It is very compelling. However, I don't know if I can consider it being not canon. You know, I would say if I could consider it, if he could just look at Juggernaut and find a weakness, that's very compelling as a reason you might win a battle. But if we don't really know that that's been attributed to Mace Windu, can we really consider it for this debate? I will say there's one thing that I haven't heard from Matt, which makes me nervous and makes me think Mace Windu is slightly falling a little bit behind here, is that Ray mentioned Mace is just a human being. Mm-hmm. And the Juggernaut essentially is, with his crystal gem power, he's no longer a human being. He is a completely different thing. And can a regular guy, even a guy that's really powerful and has the force on his side, but he's still just a human being? You know, that makes me nervous.
I hear you loud and clear, and I might have answers for you.
Okay.
Answers, I'm sure, will be coming after the break. And we're back. Ray, why don't you do us a little round three?
I feel pretty good about where I'm at right now, and I'm ready to deliver the killer blow, much like Juggernaut would do well against Mace Windu. My point number three, I'm going to talk about some of his biggest feats and some of his biggest wins. You know, I had written down here that one time he was able to pull an essential draw with World War Hulk, but then I promised I wouldn't talk about it. So I'm not going to talk about it. You know he did it. You know he fought the strongest version of the Hulk and only got scammed into a loss. But who cares about that? Let's talk about the fact that he fought a character from the Fantastic Four, a character renowned for his strength and durability and toughness, a guy named The Thing. And he was able to drop The Thing with three hits. It took him all of three hits to knock out The Thing. How many would it take for him to knock out regular Samuel L. Jackson-inspired Mace Windu, regular human, as our judge mentioned? I would argue that answer is one. If it only takes one hit to wipe a tank, it only takes one hit to wipe Mace Windu. In other battles, some of the most impressive stuff he's done right now. This is the guy who fought Colossus in a barroom brawl and wiped the floor with him. Really just kicked his butt up and down 13 bottles of Jack Daniels that I'm sure got smashed over his head. This is the guy who defeated Professor Hulk. He defeated the Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner, in a fight. He KO'd him, in fact. And not only did he win a fight against the Hulk, he knocked him unconscious with a chokehold. This is the guy who put him essentially in a sleeper hold, and he knocked out the Hulk. This proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that Juggernaut base form has Hulk-level strength. And might I also mention, he did it in street clothes. He didn't have his helmet on. He didn't have his armor on. He just fought the Hulk as his regular old self, and he choked him out like Brutus the Barber Beefcake at WrestleMania 2. I assume he was at WrestleMania 2. I don't actually know what match it might have been, but gosh, I hope I'm right with that reference. Should I also mention that in one of his first appearances, Juggernaut beat the entire team of the X-Men? I can appreciate beating 1,000 battle droids or whatever. At a certain point, once you've fought how many battle droids, do you know how battle droids fight? This is like beating NPCs in a video game. They're not going to change. Once you know the secret to beating them, you can beat all of them. This is not what he has to deal with, the Juggernaut, I mean, when fighting the X-Men. This is like two dozen different characters who all have wildly different and wildly different leveled powers, and he can just walk in the front door of Xavier's mansion and say, I'm here to beat you all up, and then do it? This guy is absolutely incredible. And you mentioned the Force Lightning and how exciting that is. Well, you mentioned Palpatine's Force Lightning, which, yes, did actually defeat Mace Windu. Okay, I understand that. That's the most powerful lightning-based attack in his universe. You know who has the most powerful lightning-based attack in the Marvel Universe? A character named Storm. And you might argue that with me, but you'd be wrong. Storm's Lightning Blast is one of the most iconic, powerful attacks in all of Marvel Comics. And she drew the power of the lightning and struck down Kane Marco Juggernaut. And do you know what happened? Nothing! Nothing happened. If Emperor Palpatine shot those electrical charges at Juggernaut, he would not move, much less crash out a window and die in traffic. What a loon that Mace Windu is for falling, first off, for that, for falling for it shows he's a sucker for anything. But to fall for that and crash out and die in traffic, that is a bad ending to a great character. Look, final thing I'm going to mention here, Rogue. We all know Rogue. She touches you, you lose your powers, but Rogue has a severe weakness. When she touches somebody whose powers are extreme, whose powers are next level, oftentimes she can get overloaded. And that's exactly what happened when she touched the Juggernaut. She tried to steal his power and she got knocked unconscious just by touching him. What is a character that powerful going to do against the, I don't know, seventh most powerful force user in Star Wars? I got my answer. And that is a Juggernaut victory. And that's my point number three.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen. All right. Once again, you have talked about all the ways that the Juggernaut is powerful. And I will say on behalf of myself and the Legion of Audience, we get it. All right. Yes. Very, very powerful. He does punchy real good. Okay. We got it. However, a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, maybe I'll work my way backwards. Mace Windu was a sucker. All right, first of all, you call him the seventh most powerful force user. Get out of town with that. We've already established that he's a much more strong force user than that, but that's really beside the point. All right. You calling Mace Windu a sucker for being betrayed by someone he implicitly trusted at the very, very last second, who didn't even go into the situation knowing that it was going to happen, is pretty rich, especially when we get into where all of this strength, everything that you've mentioned, including, yes, the Juggernaut's resistance to lightning attacks and his resistance to people who can absorb power, really aren't going to matter to a whole amount of much when you get down to what Mace Windu is able to do. And it's going to answer Grant's question. And let me get into my point number three to start talking what I'm talking about. First, before I get to the ways that the Juggernaut will lose this battle, let me start talking about some of his losses. Ray talked about the Juggernaut's wins. Let me talk about some Juggernaut losses that are out there. He lost to Spider-Woman. Spider-Woman used a blast, blasted him into water, and he drifted out to sea, pretty much unable to do anything about it. He was bested by Hyperion in an issue of the Thunderbolts. Hyperion shattered his knee so that he couldn't gain momentum, and he almost killed him with his heat vision, and would have were he not stopped by his team. Another one, and this one actually kind of hit me right in a special place. It was the 90s, which was a different time, and it was about when Venom hit the scene. Venom threw the Juggernaut around in a fight and scared the Juggernaut off. The Juggernaut fled in terror because Venom scared the living poop out of him. There was also in the Amazing Spider-Man, there was a character called Captain Universe. He knocked out the Juggernaut cold before he was able to gain momentum. And one of my favorite wins that I've heard was from Scar. Scar is one of the sons of the Hulk. Now, we've heard a lot about him battling very big versions of the Hulk, and they're going toe-to-toe, punchy-punchy, and yeah, people can't get to him. Scar was doing that, and he was getting beaten by Juggernaut, but he decided to transform from his Gamma Hulk form into his child form and pleaded with the Juggernaut, who then lowered his defenses because he was kind of not going what's on. Boom! Scar changes back and knocks him out cold. And here's the kicker to that. The knockout didn't last long. He came to, they made a truce, and then Scar bested him again by blindsiding him and hurling him into space, where he was not able to be effective. Now, what's the point of all these losses? What theme are we seeing? The Juggernaut is not a master strategist. He is not a smart fighter, and this has been proved. He is a hammer in a world of what he sees as nails. He's armored to the teeth. He runs through planets, but only if somebody's going to stand there and go toe-to-toe with him. And yes, he's going to do what a lot of us would do. He's going to look, if Jedi Mace Windu enters the battle, he's going to look at this bald-headed, boomer-age brother who's dressed in nothing but cotton robes and karate shoes and think what we all think. Game over. However, now Mace Windu, I understand that I did mention that Shatterpoint as a concept was not canon. But here's what I want to say. Mace Windu, when he has taken apart these dropships, when he has been able to defeat opponents that have given people trouble in 1 to 3 moves, the ability has, whether you call it shatter point, whether you just call it dumb luck, whether you call it whatever you want to call it, it shows up in the battles that he does. He always seems to somehow find a way to beat enemies that nobody can beat. When he faced Palpatine, he was with 3 other members of the Jedi Council that Palpatine carved up immediately, and he was able to figure it out. So here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Juggernaut's going to run at him. Mace Windu is going to figure out what's going on with this character. He's going to use his speed. He's going to duck and dodge. He's going to interrupt the momentum, and he's either going to incapacitate or cripple him to where he can't gain momentum anymore, and he's going to take care of that situation, or he's going to pop the top of that helmet off, which I still never heard an answer for that helmet being removed, and we know that it can, and he's either going to sleep or off comes the head like Jango Fett. That's the path through the destruction. That's why Mace Windu wins this battle. That's my point number 3.
I got a lot to talk about here, and I'm going to take my time talking about it. The helmet issue is not going to be a problem because it's only ever a problem if people know about it. And the characters don't have previous knowledge against their opponents. Everybody in the Marvel Universe knows you got to pop off that helmet, but people outside that universe would have no idea. They might even think it's his head at the end of the day, if you've never met this character before. And a lot of those losses you mentioned, you know what they all had in common, seemingly? Battlefield removal. It seems like the one way to get to defeat Juggernaut is get him away from you. I'm not sure how Mace Windu has the ability to throw him to another planet like Thor can do, right? Hyperion is a Superman-level character who's able to pick up and toss him to another city. I just don't see how Mace Windu can get that strength. How is Mace Windu going to Battlefield remove the Juggernaut? I don't think he will. And I mentioned him as being the 7th most powerful Jedi. I'll be honest, in the moment, I pulled that number out of my butt. But I actually looked up while you were talking the tier list of Jedis in Star Wars. And it starts the highest tier with something called the Bedlam Spirits and the Ones. I'm the big enough Star Wars nerd to know what those are. I won't count them. But then the next tier down has Darth Cadus, Grandmaster Skywalker Luke, Grandmaster Yoda, Darth Nihilus, Dark Plagueis, and Darth Sidious. 6 in a tier higher than Mace Windu, who appears in the bottom tier below with characters like Count Dooku, Darth Maul, Darth Vader, and a few other characters I've never heard of in my life. So me calling Mace Windu the 7th most powerful Jedi actually was factually correct. Even when I don't know what I'm talking about, Rey is right. How do Jedi fights go? Jedi fights go with they throw their force powers at each other and see if they can defeat them, and then they go to the lightsaber as the second half of that Jedi battle. If we go into a force battle and he's doing force push and all this other nonsense, it's not going to work, and then Juggernaut's going to throw the truck, Mace Windu's going to put up his hand and realize too late he cannot stop it. I could see Mace Windu getting knowledge, coming back for a second fight, and putting up a much better effort. But as far as one fight goes, we're talking about a guy who can do one shot on a human, much less, you know, a metahuman is really who he's really hitting with one shot. Juggernaut gets it done in this way. If Mace Windu gets a chance to learn and come back, he might win, but not in the first battle when he doesn't know anything.
All right. Yeah. Real quick. That list you have of grandmasters. I heard Grandmaster Skywalker, Grandmaster Yoda. I didn't hear Grandmaster Flash, which says to me that your list is bunk. I don't know where you're getting your information from, but it's nonsense. You know what?
He's the
not
original.
My role. I'm sorry. I may have overstepped my bounds as a host. Grant, you've heard 3 points from Ray and Matt. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Grant has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from our Patreon community. Ray, who do we have this week?
This week, I chose a very special Patreon member for this very special battle. Today's Patron of the Week is Robert Clark Chan.
Boom.
Yeah, cool. That one threw you for a loop, didn't it?
All right, fine. Well, then, I guess I have to tell you who I am going up against. So, you know what? I'm going to make you rep Omega Level Mutant Iceman.
Well, that character doesn't exist, so I'm just going to take regular alpha-level Mutant Iceman.
No, that's what you have to rep. You have to rep Omega-level Iceman.
I guess we're dealing with what-if scenarios then, because everybody knows he's not actually Omega-level unless somebody else possesses him. The point I'm trying to make is Robert Clark Chan goes up against Iceman, and Iceman is trying to be a decent person. And unfortunately, this version of Iceman is Omega level according to the constraints of this battle, because he's been possessed by another character like Enchantress or someone of that ilk, the Purple Man, perhaps. And Iceman's coming at Robert Clark Chan with all the ice abilities. He's trying to flash freeze him, which, by the way, didn't work against Juggernaut. He's trying to hit him with everything that he's got. And Robert Clark Chan takes all these ice attacks. He gets coated in ice. He gets absolutely bombed out like an opponent of Sub-Zero in Mortal Kombat. And what happens? Nothing. All the ice just flakes off of Robert Clark Chan, and Iceman, Omega level inspired, looks at Robert Clark Chan and he says, "How? How do my ice powers have no effect?" And that's because Robert Clark Chan looks right at him and says, "My heart is cold. I'm made of ice. Ice cannot hurt ice." And Iceman gets terrified and runs off to another city to not have to deal with Robert Clark Chan. It's self-battlefield removal. But Robert Clark Chan does, in fact, win the battle of the coldest heart against Omega level ice.
That is wild, because no, it does track that I would beat Omega level Iceman, and yet somehow I can't convince my kid to stay in the bathroom to brush his teeth. So yeah, it's a funny world.
Hey, man.
Congratulations, me. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, sign up, and you can be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Grant, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process.
Sure.
Your mind to our mind. Share with us your vision of how this battle plays out and reveal who you think wins this Who Would Win battle.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, props to both of you guys. I thought you both have really good arguments. You made a good case for your character, for why they would win this battle. And I think I could speak for most people listening that, like, I was moving back and forth throughout the thing. Where anybody would say something, I'd be like, yeah, that is right. Oh, wait, that's right, too. Okay. And so I was waffling back and forth. You know, I think I also speak for everybody, Ray, when I say it pissed us all off when you called Mace Windu the seventh most powerful force user, because even though when you read that list, I still don't feel like that's the case, because a lot of those people came after him. During his time, he was probably the second or third most powerful force user during his time. So, you know, screw you a little bit for saying
Look,
that.
Look, I saw your face when I said it, and I went, maybe I stepped too far.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn
I think
right.
You pissed a lot of people off with that one.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. But I will say, I, huge, huge 90s X-Men cartoon guy. That was my church. I was mad that we were going to Disneyland one time because I was going to miss the X-Men cartoon.
Wow.
And so the storyline of Kane Marco beating the entire X-Men team was in that cartoon. And that is an episode that has always stuck with me, because the entire X-Men team could not beat him. And it took them appealing to his humanity and pleading with him, because he was Xavier's stepbrother, to please let us alone and not hurt us all. And so that, you know, you didn't know that backstory with me, but that has always stuck big in my mind. I will say also, Ray had maybe the best burn of the whole argument, calling battle droids the NPCs of a video game, going through them. Solid burn. That worked out really well. However, Matt, bringing up all of the Juggernaut's losses was compelling. I had forgotten that he lost to Venom by being scared off. You know, that how are you going to win any fight if you can just be scared away? And I agree. I agree with Matt that Juggernaut is not a master strategist, right? He is. Mace Windu could outthink Juggernaut on the battlefield most of the time. But I think the thing that stuck with me the most was Ray's last point. You don't have any prior knowledge, right? That is the rules of this battle. If Mace Windu goes into this battle knowing about Juggernaut, I think Mace Windu wins. I think he can think through the situation. You know, also, you could go steal the gem and take and transfer the power, and Juggernaut just becomes a regular guy then. But Mace Windu doesn't have any of that. information. He doesn't know. I agree that he doesn't know to remove the helmet. He might figure it out. But because he doesn't have all of that previous knowledge, I think Juggernaut overwhelms him the first time they fight. Now, I feel like maybe if they fight 10 times, Mace Windu loses the first couple and can figure him out, and maybe then he has a string of victories in a row. But if we're talking about no previous knowledge, meeting on the battlefield, Juggernaut for sure wins the first battle.
Amazing.
There you have it.
Amazing. There you go.
There you have it.
Juggernaut takes this battle. Ray, you're the winner. Matt Harris, tell us, how do you feel about that decision?
You know what? Here's the thing. I appreciate that Grant, that you took us through your process. I see where you're going. Look, of course, I'm going to have my own things of what I thought I proved or whatever like that. But I can't argue with sound logic when sound logic comes out in the way. I want to send my condolences because you had a Optimus Prime dying moment. of that the Juggernaut has impressed upon your life, and being a person who has also been thusly, we'll sit in the circle of survivors and we'll share our stories in this way. And so I want to send my heart out to you because I know what that feels like. And I want to say this: look, to the Patreons who voted Mace Windu in, to the Legion of audience, you know, I really hope I didn't let you down. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I came out here. I repped as hard as I could. But I actually, as Matthew Harris was facing the Juggernaut, that is Rey Stekanis. And when you hear his victory speech, you will understand what I am saying. But you listen to the show. I, though, had a blast. I had to step up and go toe-to-toe with a champion who, I believe, if I'm right, one last season?
No, it was the season before.
It was the season before.
Do not inflate his ego anymore. It's already bad enough as it is.
I got to step in the ring with the champ, and I feel like Rocky, in the first Rocky, I went the distance with him.
I feel like you did. I as the judge, I do think this went the full distance. It was only Ray's last point, the last thing he said about, you know, they don't have any prior knowledge, right? That was the thing that clinched it for me about giving the Juggernaut the win. And, you know, to everybody disappointed that Mace Windu didn't win, I really do believe if they fight 10 times, Mace Windu probably wins 6 or 7 of those. He just doesn't win the first 1 or 2.
That's fair. Boy, I hate to do this, but Ray, how do you feel about that win?
As a 3-time season champion on the Who Would Win show, I'm put with a lot of obstacles, a lot of challenges in front of me on this show. And I'd like to say that Matthew Harris coming in for the first time ever, he's never done a Who Would Win style battle before. And in coming in and coming with as much fire and as much heat as he did, absolutely had what it takes to win this battle. I'd like to say it, but obviously it is untrue. You can't step in the ring with Apollo Creed having never fought a boxing match before. You can't step into the ring with Stone Cold Steve Austin in the late 90s and think you're not getting a stunner or 5 on your way out the door. I am offended that Matthew Harris joined the show today as a complete and relative noob and thought that he had what it takes to go a full distance. This wasn't a judge's decision. This was a knockout. This was an early round knockout. It sounds, based on the decision, that the knockout happened when the rules of the Who Would Win show were displayed. Matthew Harris, I give you all the credit in the world for daring to step into mine and try to take the gem of Sidorak from me, the unstoppable force, me, the actual Juggernaut on this show, and I praise you for recognizing me as such. But at the end of the day, unlike nearly every sports team I root for, I had what it takes on this particular challenge.
All right. I feel a little sympathy now, remembering that the Detroit Lions, Ray's lifeblood, failed spectacularly. Just absolutely ate it. They almost made it to the Super Bowl. So close. Could could almost touch it, and now it's gone. And I know the hole left in Ray's heart probably equals the pain of us having to listen to all of this nonsense.
We're not here to talk about that.
Oh, now you don't want to talk football. Oh my goodness. Grant.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on, being a fantastic first-time judge. Very impartial, very well thought out reasoning for the conclusion there and the decision. Tell us, where can people find you if they're looking for you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. It was nice to hear the argument. So I had a good time being here. Thanks, everybody. If you want to find my board game stuff, you can find it under Grant's Game Recs, like recommendations, R-E-C-S. I'm very active on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube. You can find short and fun videos about board games through all those platforms. You can also go to my website, just grantsgamerex.com, and find links to everything. I have a newsletter too. If you want to hear comedy stuff, I did have a comedy special come out on YouTube only a couple of weeks ago called Silly Mustache Man. You can find that just by searching in YouTube. You can also listen to my album, Scheduled Fun Time, on Spotify and Apple Music and all that sort of stuff. It hit number one on the comedy charts when it came out. And so, yeah, there's a lot of ways to listen to comedy from me as well.
Excellent. Matthew Harris, where can they find you?
You can find me on It's Matt Harris Graham. Check me out on Instagram. And also, I want to plug the movie that I plug every time, because now we are finally, they finally distributed it. Yeah. Thank God. So please look for Future Date wherever you can stream movies. It's available for rent on Amazon, Apple, all the big stuff. Probably find it on Roku too and stuff like that. That is Future Date. Check it out, and glad to be here.
Awesome. Ray, nobody wants to know where you are.
Everybody needs to know what I'm up to at all times. Obviously, I'm still hanging on right now at Threads at Almighty Ray 316. I also want to mention that my audio drama, Reclaim Detroit, a Vampire the Masquerade audio drama, was actually just featured by a group called Feedspot as the top, one of the top 10 Vampire the Masquerade podcasts that exists in the world. So you can go to VampireDetroit.com and listen to the first 7 episodes that are out. Obviously, I wrote them, I directed them, I edited them, and I'm in the show. So if you want to see that, you know who else is in the show? Matthew Harris is one of the lead characters in the show. You know who also is in the show? Robert Clark Chan has a small role as a courier in one of the episodes. In fact, if you listen to the Who Would Win show, you'll probably recognize 2 dozen names of people who have been on this show that were also in
this podcast. Is just a way for you to get people onto your audio drama, isn't it?
My scam has been revealed finally at last. And I do want to take a second here to talk to the people at home. Obviously, the LA wildfires are a huge problem, and they've affected, you can tell, they have affected the Who Would Win show in dramatic ways, some of which can't even be seen up top. And obviously, if you can, donate to bit.ly/WWWfires, all lowercase. We are going to be shipping that off. We're taking all of January's Patreon proceeds, and we're going to be shipping that to the fires as well. We want to do our part and help the LA Food Bank collecting food for everybody. But this is also me making sort of a show announcement. We don't normally do this, but obviously James is going through some stuff right now with the fires directly affecting his home and place of business. I'm not going to say more than that, but you guys can figure out what's going on with that. We are going to be taking the Who Would Win show, and we are going to be putting it on hiatus for right now. There will be no new episodes coming after that one. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take to get normal again to the point where we can continue to produce the show. But trying to throw together guest hosts and guests, you know, the judges is already its own deal. But guest debaters on top of it, it's just more than the show can handle long term. And let's face facts, you probably want to hear James on this show just as much as I want to defeat him. So, with that being said, this will be the last episode for a while. I don't know when the show's coming back. I don't know if the show's coming back. Who could pierce the veil of the future? But I just wanted to say it's been a wild ride over this being the 7th season of the Who Would Win show. And I just want to say for the record, I'm great.
And that's probably about the right place to end it. So
it's on brand.
You can find me nowhere I'm off Meta. I'm off Twitter. Maybe I'm on Substack. I don't even know. On behalf of myself, Robert Clark Chan, Race to Canis, James Gabzy, everybody here who's involved in the Who Would Win show, thank you very much. And we'll hope to see you soon next time for another episode of the Who Would Win show. Good night and good luck and good riddance.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.
Are you a geek who likes sports?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. We hope it is good. Welcome to another edition of Geeks Who Like Sports. The Yankees really kind of mailed it in. She's the Goblin Queen. Like, yeah. It's legit. Football 101. Take what the defense gives you.
The NBA All-Star Game is fake. The Emperor would absolutely throw Vader under the bus.
Listen or watch Geeks Who Like Sports on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.